fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and glad you could join me again today. This week, if you haven't had a chance to tune in so far, I've been talking about the conversion of St. Paul and the commission that Jesus gave him, and trying to draw from Paul's own story and testimony some parallels for our own lives. Why? Because everyone who's baptized into Christ is baptized into a relationship with Jesus, into what we call the mystical body of Christ. Literally, we share in the life of Christ, and the Bible uses the image of a body. Jesus is the head, we're the body, and we become part of the body through baptism. Why? Because it's in baptism that we share in the life of Christ, where Jesus transmits to us a share in his life. He comes to dwell in us as in a temple. It's an amazing, it's glorious. It's a fundamental piece of what it means to be Christian. Now, when I was talking about Paul's conversion from Acts chapter 26 and following, at the heart of what Jesus commissioned Paul to do was to preach the gospel. And he said to open people's eyes so that they can see. Now, at another place in the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul is talking about the very dynamics of what he understood and experienced in his own ministries. He went forward under the authority of the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit to fulfill what Jesus called him to do. He explains the dynamics of what happens. And I ended yesterday's program touching on one place in which Paul describes that, and I also want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, but reviewing from yesterday, in case you didn't tune in, it's from Romans chapter 15, verse 18 and following. Paul's describing toward the end of his life and ministry now what he experienced and how he went about opening people's eyes and leading people from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. This is the heart of the church's mission. And it's important for us to see it because sometimes people want to reduce the mission of the church to something like a very good thing that the church is involved in is something like human development. We want to care for the poor, which we absolutely do. We want to remember the forgotten, absolutely do. We have hospitals, we have schools, we have all of that, which is an amazing part of the church's very important ministry in the world. But the core of what the church is called to do, the very heart of it, is the work of evangelization, which is expressed right there in the words that Jesus spoke to Paul. I'm sending you to open their eyes, to lead them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, and to lead them to the forgiveness of sins, to be able to have their sins forgiven so that they can be sanctified, they can be set apart for God and come and share ultimately and live with God forever. That's Jesus' goal. So Paul went forward from that commission, and later in life he looks back and he said, look, I want to share with you, I want to boast in what the Lord has done in me. And what the Lord had done, he said, is he, through the preaching of the good news about Jesus and the offer of salvation and bringing Jesus, who is the light of God, the revelation of God, everything we most want to know about reality and about ourselves and our origin and destiny, it's all there revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, as he went forward to proclaim, he sought to bring the Gentiles, the non-Jewish world, which was his main mission field, was to bring all of those people into a relationship of obedience to Christ. As Jesus was obedient to the Father, Jesus showed us what does a faithful human being look like? What is a healthy, fulfilled, happy, purposeful, integrated human being look like? Jesus is it. And what did that entail? It meant loving God the Father, obeying God. That this is such a contrast between what the world, it's almost like the world hates the idea of obedience, the word obedience. We just rebel against it because somehow the idea, if I'm going to obey somebody else instead of being my own master, it diminishes me in some way. So I'm in competition with God, with the call of God, with Jesus, and my own will. That's part of the revelation of how deep sin goes within us. But Paul underlines here, he said, He brought about that obedience. God brought about that obedience in the Gentiles by words and deeds, Paul said. Deeds of love and words that gave meaning to the deeds. And the central words was the good news, the proclamation of who Jesus is and his offer of salvation and the forgiveness of sins. And then that word and those deeds, Paul said, were supported by the power of signs and wonders. Jesus said these signs, like the kind he performed, would accompany those who believe. God will confirm with signs and wonders and healings and deliverances and exorcisms and things of that sort that the church's ministry still does today, but not in the level of which we hear about in the scripture. But the Lord wants to renew, and the recent popes have talked to us about renewing these realities in the life and the ministry of the church. So signs and wonders and the power of the Holy Spirit that was made manifest. The reason the Holy Spirit acts this way is we're transmitting not just in the preaching of the gospel, not just an idea, but a person. We're declaring the truth about God's amazing act in his son, Jesus, raising him from the dead and giving him life. And Jesus lives in absolute freedom, the glorious man who lives without boundaries in joy and freedom beyond all our understanding. And he's the one who has the authority to give us a share in that very life. But Paul said in the second chapter of his letter to the Corinthians, he talks about the dynamic, the spiritual dynamic of how the ministry of the Word of God, that is sharing the Word with others, is so essential because that Word has power. What does it have power to do? It has power to break strongholds in our mind, that is, lies, deceptions that we build our life on, that are rooted in the seductive lies of Satan, trying to bring about a counter, really an alternative reality, a reality that's opposed to God. And so Paul says it's the Word of God that has the power to break through that darkness. Because again, remember, ignorance of God and embracing life apart from God is a form of darkness because we're walking away from God who is the light. And when we walk away, there's no neutral ground. We're turning away from the source of our life, God's protection, God's freedom, the fundamental spiritual health that comes from being united to God. And we move toward ever deeper levels of slavery. Even when we think it's the right thing, we think, no, I'm happy, I'm fine, I love what I'm doing and the life I'm shaping for myself. I actually don't need God. Everything's cool. Everything's good. We're actually slaves and in darkness. And Paul said that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that it's the devil's strategy to blind the minds of unbelievers. The devil puts a veil over our eyes, our spiritual eyes, so we can't see God and the truth about ourselves in relationship to God, which is the one piece of knowledge that's most important for us to understand. So we're up against real spiritual forces that have power. It's not make-believe, it's real. And the recent popes, it's interesting how many times they've talked about and underlined the biblical truth about the reality of who we're up against. Let me give you an example here. I'll just read something from Pope Benedict XVI. He said, whatever the less discerning theologians may say, and he's talking about even teachers within the church today sort of deny the role of the devil or even deny the existence of the devil maybe, and they poo-poo it. They're slightly embarrassed by it. It seems like a fairy tale or something, and they don't feel comfortable taking up the truth that's in the Word of God. Now, here's Pope Benedict, what he says. Whatever the less discerning theologians may say, the devil, as far as Christian belief is concerned, is a puzzling but real, personal, and not merely symbolic presence. He's a powerful reality, the prince of this world, as he's called by the New Testament, which continually reminds us of his existence. It's a baneful superhuman freedom directed against God's freedom. Superhuman power, but not divine power. Superhuman power that's directed against God's freedom. This is evident if we look realistically at history, with its abyss of ever new atrocities, which cannot be explained by reference to man alone. Think of the gulags, think of Auschwitz, think of all the beheadings that have gone on over the last few years and the whole battle, quote-unquote, against terror, the killing of Christians. It says, on his own, again, this is Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI, on his own, man has not the power to oppose Satan. But the devil is not second to God. And united with Jesus, we can be certain of vanquishing him. Christ is God who is near to us, willing and able to liberate us. That is why the gospel really is good news. And that's why we must go on proclaiming Christ in those realms of fear and in unfreedom. So well put. St. Paul declares, for freedom Christ has set us free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And the freedom they're talking about is most fundamentally human freedom, spiritual freedom, the freedom that comes from God given to human beings in the Spirit of God, a new power and a new capacity to live a new way of life. Scripture talks about it as receiving a new heart. In the core of your being, and you know it, there's a dimension of your life that resists God, that's fallen, that loves what God forbids. That's the power of original sin at work in us, friends, that enslaves us. We know it all too well where the world is seducing us to say yes to all of that, to embrace it, to run in it, and somehow to deceive us to believe that we can't be happy. We're not going to be happy unless we can somehow play around with what's forbidden, that life is going to be too boring. It's going to rob us of all that we can have. So I want to look up here just for a moment some of what Pope Paul VI had said about the devil as well. He's talking about sin and the devil. He says, we come face to face with sin in our lives, which is a perversion of human freedom and the profound cause of death because it involves detachment from God, the source of life. And then sin in its turn becomes the occasion and the effect of interference in us and our work by a dark and hostile agent, the devil. Evil is not merely an absence of something, but also an active force, a living spiritual being that is perverted and that perverts others. It is a terrible reality, mysterious and frightening. So he's not just trying to scare us, he's just simply trying to speak the truth because so many people pretend as if the devil doesn't exist, and the devil loves to mask him. I mean, the two things you never want to do with the devil is, first of all, exaggerate as if the devil's around every single corner and isn't present in everybody and everything, which is not true, or that he doesn't really exist, which is also not true. Here's Pope Francis. He says, the devil pushes us to be unfaithful to the Lord. Sometimes he pushes us very hard. And the scripture speaks to us about a universal temptation, about a universal trial, about the time when the whole of the Lord's creation will be faced with this choice between God and evil, between God and the prince of this world. So if you wonder why it's hard for you to break out of habit patterns of sin, or that you feel listless in relationship to the things of God, you don't care, you can't, you're in a spiritual battle, and you need the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit and the help of the church to penetrate that real darkness, so that you can be free to say yes to God and to come into the fulfillment of your life as a creature of God, as a son and daughter of God. I want to talk about this one more day. Maybe you can tune in tomorrow. I encourage you to ask your friends to tune in as well. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbig, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words.
St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.